mic on. I'll turn this one off. I'm okay. I got her. I got her. I turned her off. There we go. Yes, indeed. Good morning. Good to see all of you today. Yes, I'd like to encourage you to open up your Bible and join me in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. This week, again, another message in the series that I've entitled Knowing and Living God's Will. You know, there's people in the world today that say, no, you can't know God's will. You just do the best you can, live the best way you know how, and just maybe when you stand before the Lord, He'll say, good, faithful servant. Just maybe. You can, but you know, the Bible says we can know. You can know God's will in your life. In fact, there are certain things here, a few things that we know specifically about God's will. We do know, first of all, it is God's will that you are born again, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Now, there's going to be some, there's going to be many who are going to choose to reject that. God doesn't make us into a puppet. We either want to know Him as our Savior or we reject Him. And you know, if we reject Him, there is a huge consequence. We saw today that hell is for eternity. Just like heaven's for eternity, so is hell. And I know there's people who mock that place and make fun of it, but it is a real place. Scripture tells us, like places in Luke chapter 16, that the rich man, after his death, looked up and in hell he was in torment. Immediately, it wasn't just a sideshow or a next step. No, it is right now. It is right now. He died, he passed away, and immediately he opened his eyes in hell. So first of all, in order to know the will of God, number one is you must be born again. I hope this morning that each one of us here today is in the will of God, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that there's been a time in your life when you realize that you're a sinner, lost, condemned, and headed for hell, and that you personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is your choice. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That whosoever believeth, it's your choice. You're the one that has to make the choice. I can't do it for you. I cannot stand before you today and say, Lord, save everyone here today. I can't do that. It is your choice. You personally, by faith, have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And there's a few comments that I've made. First of all, be almost saved is to be totally lost. You know, there are some who say, well, almost, maybe soon. No, they're totally lost. Lost and headed for hell. Listen to this one. This is the most gripping one, and that's this. God grades on the cross and not on the curb. He grades by the cross. What have we done with the cross of Christ? What have we done with Him? So first of all, you must be born again. And we can know specifically that, yes, that is the will of God. We also can know that every believer should be Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. You know, some people think, well, I need to have more of the Holy Spirit then. Give me more. Give me more. No. No, you have as much of the Holy Spirit as you'll ever get. The day that you came to know Christ as your Savior and He forgave you, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt within you. You have as much of the Holy Spirit as you will ever get. You can't get more. You can't get less. You have it all. But the question is how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? How much of you? You see, we can take our life and say, well, okay, God, you can have this part of my life, but this part over here, no, I'm going to keep for my own pet sin. This is for me, and I'm going to keep it myself. No, the Holy Spirit wants all of us, every part of our life, not just a part, but every part of our life. He who is good at making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Oh, we like to make excuses for a reason for not living for Him. How about this one? Give God what is right, not what's left. Give Him all. Give all. Never give the devil a ride. He will always want to drive. I like that one. This one too. Give Satan an inch and he will become a ruler. He will try to rule and reign in our lives. So not only to be born again, to be Spirit-filled, but how about this one? It's also God's will that we are set apart. Set apart. Vessels that God can use. Not tarnished or dirty or cracked or unusable, but vessels that God can use. Set aside for one purpose to glorify God, to live for Him. The Word of God shares with us that to be set apart and to be set apart as vessels that God can use for His glory. I like using the toothbrush. Remember my illustration of the toothbrush? The toothbrush is set aside for one purpose. You set aside in the corner somewhere in the bathroom for one purpose, to brush your teeth. You don't want Dad or Grandma or Grandpa to take your toothbrush and use it to clean something like the pots and pans from the lasagna the night before. Nor do you want Grandpa to use it to clean the bearings from the trailer or the ATV. You know, you just don't want him to do that. It's set aside for one, and that's the same thing for the Christian. We're set aside, not vessels that are tarnished and misused, but vessels set aside for one purpose, to glorify God. Forbidden fruit creates many jams. Or this one, don't put a question mark where God puts a period. He makes it pretty clear. The next one is this. It's also God's will that we're law-abiding. Law-abiding. You know, when you think about the law, we know that in Scripture it shares with us that we are to submit to the authority. We're to submit. We're to pray for our president and uplift him in prayer. We pray that he comes to know the Lord as his Savior, and we pray for our president. We might not like him. We might not like what he's doing, but it's ours to pray for him and respect him for the position that he has and to obey the law. When we begin to break the law and we're not subject to the law, it's kind of hard to witness and to be set apart, vessels that God can use. Remember, I shared with you a testimony of a dorm mate in Bible college who had plastered his room with speeding tickets that he got over the year. I thought, oh my, what a testimony. But he was proud of them. He had this super hot car that you just barely push the pedal and the wheels begin to spin. And man, he just didn't know how to slow down. And he was constantly getting speeding tickets. It's kind of hard to be a witness when we're constantly breaking the law. And not only the law of the land, but what about God's law? What about his word, being faithful to him? Today we're going to look at that in Daniel chapter 6. The fifth one is faithfully committed. You know, even though we go through tough times, even though we go through persecution, even though we go through times which I call gut-wrenching experiences, we always trust in him. We go right through those trials, right through those struggles, knowing that God's in control, that we can trust him, that we can rely upon him. And so next Sunday, we're going to look at Job. And what was it that carried him through? What kept him going? Was it his family? Was it his friends? Oh, maybe it was his finances. Come next Sunday and we'll find out. I'm not going to tell you. A lot of kneeling will keep you in good standings. How about this one? Worry is the dark room in which negatives are developed. I like that one. I know nowadays you have digital cameras and you don't have a dark room anymore. It's all done digitally and on the computer. But those of us that are old enough, oh, maybe you guys aren't old enough. Do you remember the dark room? You do? Okay. So that's still applicable today? Okay, there we go. God promises a safe landing, not a calm passage. Oh, how true that is. How true that is. Because sometimes we go through those rough waters, we go through those difficult times, yet God is there. God is there. So we can know God's will in our life. There's five of them that share with us the importance of knowing God's will and the direction within our lives. So we want to look here at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And here in Daniel chapter 6, we want to begin reading at verse 1. Are you there with me? Daniel chapter 6. If you're wondering where it is and you're thinking, how am I going to get there before this preacher's done preaching? Just look for the biggest book in the Bible, the book of Psalm. And 8 books over, you'll find Daniel. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Book of Daniel. And here in Daniel, we want to look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, where the Word of God says this. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princess might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princesses because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So the king looked at Daniel and saw that he had an excellent spirit within him. He was a man who was upright, a man who kept the law, a man whom he could trust, a man whom he was a friend with. But then in verse 4 it says, then the presidents and princesses sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So these presidents and princesses looked at Daniel and said, hey, this isn't right. Daniel, he's a Jew. He's from Israel. He shouldn't have this position. And they were jealous. They were angry. So they said, let's see if we can find something that he can do wrong, something that he's doing illegally. And so they thought in their mind, well, let's look at what we do. I mean, you know, we pack the books, we lie, we cheat, we steal. We do all, let's see if we can find those things in Daniel's record. So they give Daniel an audit. They give him an audit. They look to see if maybe he was pocketing some money on the side, that maybe he was doing things that he would order a certain amount, but he only needed half of what he ordered. Let's see if we can find in the record book somewhere where he lies, where he cheats, where he steals. After all, that's what we do. But, you know, if we could find in these record books these things, and we could get rid of Daniel. We could prove to the king that this man Daniel doesn't belong there. They were jealous. He had their job. He wanted their job. And oh, they fought hard. They checked the record books to see if they could find something concerning Daniel that they could get rid of him. But look at what Scripture says. It says concerning Daniel, the kingdom, but they could find none. Nothing. They couldn't find a place where he lied or cheated or where he stole something. They couldn't find anything. And you know what made them angry? It made them angry. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. Here he is put into a position that they wanted. That's not fair. And they were angry. So the Word of God goes on to say, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion. Now, isn't that amazing? You know, wouldn't that be true in our lives? Oh, I hope that's true in our lives, that nobody can find any contrary or accuse us of something. My, a life of Daniel, they couldn't find anything. They gave him an audit. They checked the record books, but they couldn't find anything. A man against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Oh, he was a law keeper. They looked at him and said, hey, maybe we could do something that will break the law of his God. Let's see if we could trip him up. See if we can catch him. So the Word of God shares with us here that he was scrutinized by the jealous. He was scrutinized. They looked at the record books. They looked to see if they could find anything. But Daniel was faithful. He wasn't a liar. He wasn't a thief. He wasn't a man that didn't tell the truth. He was a man who loved the Lord and kept the law of his God. A desire to serve him and to live for him. He was a man that was set apart for one purpose, to glorify God and to exalt him and to raise him up. But here we have an individual that was scrutinized by the jealous. They scrutinized him. They checked out everything. They looked at the record book. They did everything, but they couldn't find anything concerning his God. So then in verse 6 says, then these presidents and princesses assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Now we got these presidents and princesses, and look at verse 7. I want to submit to you that the very first word that they say to the king is a lie. Oh, they're accustomed to lying. They're accustomed to stealing. Everybody does that. Everybody takes a little bit from the top. But they couldn't find anything in it, and it made them mad. He's not like us. He's different. He worships his God. Look at that very first word, number in verse 7. It says, all. That is an outright lie. Look at what it says. All the presidents of the kingdom the governors and the princesses, the counselors and the captains have consulted together. That's a lie. Daniel wasn't there. They lied to the king. These men were corrupt. They were wrong. They were thieves. They were liars. They did not trust the king. They did everything to downthrow him. It says here, next of all, together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Whoa. Sounds pretty serious. Scrutinized by the jealous. They were jealous of Daniel. They did everything to get rid of him and to destroy his life. Then in verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Daniel was a man who kept the law. He chose to live for him, not only man's law, but God's law as well. You know, in Romans 3:19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. These men were guilty. They were liars. They were thieves. Look at 1 John 3:4. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Romans 7:7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He was a lawkeeper. He was a man who coveted the things of God. And Galatians 3:24 sums it all up. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to point us to the Savior, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Daniel, the lawkeeper, but he was scrutinized by the jealous. But not only was he scrutinized by the jealous, but listen to this, he was also seen by the assembly. Look at verse 8, or verse 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He signed it. Oh, they buttered him up. Oh, king, you know, live forever, live forever. And they exalted him and lifted him up as God. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and hid in the closet and he prayed. Oh, there's one awake here today. No, he wasn't hiding at all. It says here, it was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel prayed. Now, I've often wondered, what was Daniel's prayer like? Did Daniel kneel there in front of that window and say, Lord, I pray the lions won't be hungry tonight? Is that what he prayed? Or maybe prayed, Lord, I pray the lions will get out of the lion's den tonight. No, I don't think that's what he prayed either. You know what I think he prayed? I think he prayed, Lord, whatever happens in my life today, will you make it clear that you are God in heaven and that there is no other God but you? You know, the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, number one is, there is only one God, and him only should we worship. Even you look at number two. Number two is, thou shalt have no other graven image above, from heaven above, or from the ocean beneath. Are there two gods? No, there's only one God, and him only should we worship. These individuals set King Darius up as God. He's the one to pray to. But Daniel says, no, I'm not going to pray to the king. You know, the king, although yes, he does have eyes, he can't see my inner needs. He can't see where I stand before God. He can't see my needs. He can't see my hurts. He can't even meet my needs. He is the king. He's an individual, but he's not God, and I am not going to fall down and worship him. I know who the true and living God is, and him only will I worship. I think Daniel's prayer was, God, no matter what happens to me today, I pray that you will be revealed, that this country, this land will know that you are God, and only you do we worship. I think that's what Daniel's prayer was. So not only do we see the scrutinized by the jealous, but I also want to point out, seen by the assembly. Look at this. Now these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah. I can just see King Darius' heart fall. He then caught him. He knew what they were up to. He realized that these men were not in favor of Daniel. Regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, listen to this. He said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Folks, Daniel's reputation preceded him. The king knew where Daniel stood. He knew that he was an upright man, that he kept the law, not only the law of his God, but the law of the land. It was his goal. You see, when the law of the land is not subject to the law of God, then there's a problem. And we need to take a stand. We need to take a stand and say, this isn't right. This is not right. But King Darius knew Daniel. He knew Daniel's heart. He knew what Daniel thought. And he knew exactly where Daniel stood. And he said, your God shall deliver thee. Now, he didn't believe that in his heart. He just knew. He just knew that that's what Daniel believed. He knew that's where Daniel stood. So not only do we see scrutinized by the jealous and seen by the assembly, but now sealed by the king. The king sealed the lion's den. It was sealed. Now, you know, King Darius, of course, he went home, laid down in his nice warm waterbed, and he slept all night, didn't he? No, not at all. He tossed and he turned and he tossed and he turned. You know, I think Daniel probably had a better night's sleep than King Darius did. Laying down there in the lion's den, listening to those lions purr all night, laying down on one of those manes in that big, huge lion, as he's probably grazing on grass and just laying there and just having a good time. You know, I think Daniel had a much better sleep than King Darius ever did. But these men who accused him, oh, in their pride, saying, oh, we got him. He's a goner. They probably slept the best they ever had for a long time. And you know something? That was the last time they slept. That's the last time they slept. Not only do we see the scrutinized by the jealous, seen by the assembly, but now sealed by the king. The king sealed him in. In verse 12, the word of God says, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And they sealed it, or the king sealed it, and the stone was brought and laid, verse 17, upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then this king went to the palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose He arose. He got up early in the morning, not only scrutinized by the jealous, seen by the assembly, sealed by the king, but how about saved by the Lord? He was protected. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. The sun was about to come up. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentous voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And Daniel spoke up, yes, yes. Daniel survived the lion's den. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O God, have I done no hurt. Daniel the lawkeeper. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. The lions didn't touch him, didn't hurt him in any way. I think the lions were just like what we're going to see during the millennial reign of Christ. They're going to be eating straw, and they're not going to eat any lamb or any small animal, a deer or an antelope. They're going to eat grass, and I think possibly maybe that's what happened. But those who criticize and make fun of the Word of God, they say, oh, these lions weren't hungry. They weren't hungry. That's why Daniel survived. No, let's look on. Look at this. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions, what? They just laid there. They weren't hungry. No, it says, and the lions had the master of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and standeth forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. It will stand forever. Daniel, the lawkeeper. A man who loved the true and living God. Oh, these men scrutinized. They tried to tear him apart. But you know, even before their bodies hit the bottom of the den, every one of their bones were broken. That is proof that those lions were hungry. They were hungry. You can't say, oh, no, they were hungry. They were hungry. And they had dominion over and power over these individuals. And they were breakfast. They were breakfast. Daniel, the lawkeeper. A man who loved the Lord with all his heart. A desire to live for him. Even when he was scrutinized. Even when the record books were opened and he was given an audit. He still stood true to the things of God. They couldn't find anything contrary to his God. And he loved the Lord with all his heart. He didn't do anything to harm the king in any way, nor his God. It was his desire to serve and live for him. You know, it's God's will that we are law-abiding. Not only God's law, but the law of the land. To live for him, to serve him. When you put that all together, set apart, spirit-filled, born again, a man who loves the Lord, puts God first, and obeys his command. God's will is that you know Christ as your Savior, that you are set apart, that you are spirit-filled, and that you're law-abiding. Obeying him in every command and trusting him. First of all, scrutinized by the jealous. Seen by the assembly. Sealed by the king. And last of all, saved by the Lord. He trusted in him. with all of his heart. And that should be true in our lives as well. That we don't want to do anything that will harm the name of our Christ, the name of our God, to live for him with all of our hearts, serving him and obeying his law. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God today and for Daniel the law abider, a man who loved his God and served him with all his heart. He would not allow the world, the king, the law, to keep him from worshiping the true and living God. He stood up and stood fast for your glory. Father, I pray too that it'll be our desire to obey your word, to obey the law, to obey the principles that are found in the word of God. No, we say in this new covenant, in this age of grace, we say that we're not subject to the law. But here in the New Testament, it's even more strict, even more set down when you look at the law and you look at your principles in your word. Father, give us a desire, a love to live for you, to study your word, to walk closer to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Kevin, you come.
Please turn to hymn 160, and when you get there, stand. Hope it's open if you want to come pray. All three verses.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the thing of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Verse 2.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
On the last,
his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Please bow your heads. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the message. Please help us to take this message and study on it and hide it in our hearts. And help us to go out and be the salt and the light of the earth for you. Thank you for your blessed son's blood that saves us, and help us to give us the guidance and help us to reach others throughout this next week, Father, that they can come to the saving knowledge of your son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're welcome.